thank you for your grace and goodness to us each one of us. We thank you for times like this that you can draw near to your very presence as your children, as your people. Time where we can express our appreciation of you, our love for you. A time where we can draw near to you, enter into a deeper fellowship with you, learn from you, be refreshed in our spirit, renewed in our minds. A time where we ask that you may also purify our hearts and help us to have a clearer understanding, deeper appreciation of who you are, and what you reveal of yourself and of your ways and scriptures. Help us to more and more we know how to align our lives with your will, how to walk in your ways, how to enter more and more into the fullness of salvation that you have provided for us and intended for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for what we have already come to know and understand. But we recognize that there's so much more that you intend for us. They desire us to enter into, and we ask that you will continue to prepare our hearts, our minds, our spirit, that more and more we will be able to receive and enter into all that is in your heart for our lives. Father, we do pray that as we look at the scriptures, you will speak to us. We ask that the Spirit of God will enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that what we hear, what we consider, will not just be concepts and ideas, but more and more we may be able to see the realities in the spiritual realm, the relevance for our lives. So Father, we ask that you will help us to be receptive to whatever you have to say to us, and that there may be a definite change in our lives as we come to recognize the truths in a clearer way. And so we commit this time to your loving hands. We pray that you will be pleased to manifest your presence in our midst. That the name of Jesus may be lifted up, exalted. Do not allow the powers of darkness in any way to disturb or harass us, in any way to hinder us from hearing, from understanding, from hearkening to what you have said to us. And so we look to you for your guidance and your protection for our time together. For we ask and pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 40th message and second major category of situations, 16th message and situations, the subtopic, the framework within which we work out our lives, the 12th message, and we are considering the example of the man Daniel, the man of high esteem, the 10th message of Daniel. And the topic for today, the meaning, significance, and helpfulness of what was revealed to and through Daniel, and the contribution to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes. The meaning, significance, and helpfulness of what was revealed to and through Daniel, and the contribution to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes. We have been considering this man Daniel, this line, what he went through. As an example of someone who had to work out his life in a very difficult framework, which may appear not conducive for growth and for service, but we saw how Daniel responded very well to God, and he not only fared well in his own personal growth and development, but was also able to contribute very significantly the main flow of fulfillment, God's purposes, we considered three areas. One is testimony, his life and testimony. The other is through his prayer line. And the previous message, we considered the third major area, and that is through significant revelations through and through Daniel, pertaining to the future and the unfolding of God's plan and God's kingdom. In the previous message, we tried to have some idea of the scope and significance of these revelations through and through Daniel. And today, I'd like to continue on with this third significant aspect of Daniel's contribution, by considering some reflections on the meaning, significance and helpfulness of what was revealed to and through him. The topic that has been given to you. First point I'd like to consider arises from feedback from someone as a result of the previous message. The brother mentioned to me how he found it a bit difficult to appreciate Daniel's contribution to the revelations to him, the significance of his contribution, because he says it doesn't seem as if Daniel did very much. He didn't seem to do very much as far as this area is concerned. He merely received the revelations from the Lord and he recorded it down and seems rather passive. So why do we regard it as a significant aspect of contribution to the main flow of fulfillment of God's purposes? And one major aspect is that revelations were from God. The whole thing was from God. So why do we consider it as Daniel's significant contribution? When I responded to him, he did express that what was mentioned to him were helpful, and it seems to me that these comments are some comments on this issue will be helpful in our consideration of this subject of the revelations to and through Daniel. And also I trust that the rest of the message will also help us in a clearer way to appreciate the meaning and the significance of this aspect of Daniel's contribution. Well, we realize as we reflect back over the scope of what has been revealed in the depth, the meaning of it, that what has been revealed to Daniel is rather unusual. It covers significant issues and also the period of time it has covered, not just pertaining to the last days, but also regards to the world empires that stretches to many years. One aspect that is helpful for us to consider in responding to this issue as to why we regard Daniel's revelations received by Daniel to be aspect of his contribution is to look at it from this angle, that we are just considering from the angle that the revelations were received by him, they were from God, not from himself. If we ponder for a while, we will realize that actually all true contributions to the fulfillment of God's purposes must be of God and must be from God. All true contributions to the fulfillment of God's purposes must be of God, they must be from God. Whether it be revelations from God, on various ways God enables us in whatever form of service, whatever form of contributions. And whatever is not from God or by His enabling, that is from ourselves, apart from God, whether it be our own ideas, our own efforts, strength, our own ways of going about it, they will be useless. They will be rejected, and they will not be able to have any lasting value. There will be no true contribution to God's eternal purposes. In fact, they can often cause problems. They can be damaging. They can be a hindrance to God's work. generally, we wouldn't also have difficulty in appreciating contributions to the Lord's work, fulfilling God's purposes by true prophets and true preachers of the word, especially what comes through deep and meaningful things. Even though we recognize that their messages are from God and are delivered with the Lord's enabling. In fact, if it were otherwise, then they will not be true prophets or true preachers, or even or at least on that occasion, they will not be really preaching as they ought to be, or prophesying as they ought to do. Not only that, we also generally would consider and recognize that the depth and significance of the insights and revelations that are received and communicated by the prophets or preachers that God has raised up, that they do have a bearing, they do bear a relationship with our appreciation of the significance of their contributions. For example, if someone the Lord has raised and through the Lord's enabling able to help us to gain much insight into the Lord's purposes and able then to help us to move in that direction, the deeper they are in width and depth, the more significant these are, the more we will appreciate the depth or the degree of their contributions. But there is an important qualification that's helpful for us to bear in mind when we are considering this issue of contribution, the meaning and quality of contribution by lost people. And this important qualification is that where these insights and the revelations that are received and communicated must be related to the quality of their lives, their attitudes and ways. This must be present. The insights, the revelations they receive must bear a relationship with the quality of their lives, their attitudes and ways. A life that is pleasing to God. And in that context, God revealed to them and they help the lost people in that direction. So a good example of this would be the life of Daniel. Someone to whom God revealed much related to God being pleased with their lives, with his life, and the significance of the insights, the revelations that God gave to him and through him. Another example would be the Apostle Paul. I'll elaborate further on this when we consider the second point, which is related to the first point. But I mention this important qualification because God can work out his purposes through a person without there being any meaningful sense of service or contribution on his part. This is possible. Even in rather extreme cases where the person's life is totally not right with God and God is actually displeased with the person, God can still work out his purposes through such a person. That is, God is at work through him, in spite of him. In spite of him. In spite of God's displeasure with his life. Of course, in that kind of context, there will not be any meaningful sense of contribution or service on his part. For example, like this man, Balaam, recorded in the scriptures. We are familiar with his story. The Lord was displeased with him, but God still used him to bless the nation of Israel, though Balak wanted him to curse Israel. But God was not pleased with him, but God still could use him and bless the nation of Israel through him. Another example think of is Caiaphas, the high priest. We look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. reading from verse 49, verse 49 to 51. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should not perish." Caiaphas was speaking in a discussion concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here that it is expedient that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation should not perish. And verse 51 says that, "Now this he did not say on his own initiative." That means it's basically not just an idea from his own mind. But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. So there's truth in what he said. And he has prophesied actually that Jesus is going to die for the nation. The idea is not from him. But in this context, we know that Caiaphas, his mind was not right. God was not pleased with him. In fact, his life's direction and ways and motives was actually contrary and against the direction of God's purposes and God's intentions through the Lord Jesus Christ. But in spite of that, he could still speak in this manner and prophesy that Jesus is going to die for the nation. This is an issue that we also can bear in mind for our own lives, that the things that God may at times work through our lives in order to understand the meaningfulness or the quality of our service and contribution, even though in the lives of believers at times it may not be an extreme situation like that of Caiaphas, the high priest, nevertheless, in varying degrees, the principle can still be in operation. That the Lord may use a believer to do something, to accomplish something of significance, but that in itself does not necessarily mean that his contribution, the quality of his service, is of a high degree. Because the meaningfulness and quality of service and contribution is related to the person's spiritual health and stature and the degree with which God is working in his life and through his life because of the way he's responding to God. That is a very important aspect that we must bear in mind when we consider the meaningfulness and the quality of service and contribution. Because at times, the Lord may desire to do certain things in a certain situation, and he may work to a person, not because of the person's good attitudes and qualities, but sometimes in spite of the person's failures or negative traits. Because it's a question of degree. But the point I want to mention is when we consider the issue of contribution, we need to bear in mind that at the heart of it, this is a key issue. That is, to understand how the person goes about it and the meaning of God working in and through the person. Where God is working in and through the person in relation to God being pleased with the person is a very important issue, rather than God working through the person in spite of him and his negative traits and ways. So coming back to Daniel, we know that the revelations to Daniel and through Daniel is related to his exemplary life, attitudes and ways which we have examined, considered, reflected upon to quite some degree in the previous messages. Is closely related to his faithfulness to God under all circumstances. And the kind of faithfulness to God under all various circumstances of the life of Daniel includes not merely maintaining a faithful stand in the midst of trying situations, but also Daniel diligently seeking to understand God and the ways of God, the purposes of God, in order that he can cooperate and do his part. That was his posture, his attitude, his approach. And it was in the context of such an approach in his life that God revealed the various significant revelations to Daniel and to Daniel. So for example, we note, take a note that these two verses in chapter 9 and 10. First, look at chapter 9, verse 23 of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. Verse 21 mentions to us about Gabriel, how Gabriel came to Daniel. And this was in the context of earnest seeking of God in prayer. Gabriel came to Daniel in the context of his prayer. And verse 23 says, "At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued." In other words, during the time of his prayer, the command which comes from God, command was issued, "And I, Gabriel, have come to you, for you are highly esteemed." For you are highly esteemed. I've come to tell you. God has given the command that I should come and tell you. And it's linked to this, linked to the fact that you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. The understanding, the vision, the message was given to Daniel, linked to the fact that God was pleased to reveal these things to him because he was highly esteemed in the eyes of God. Come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Likewise, chapter 10, verse 11, also in the context of significant revelations and insights given to Daniel. Chapter 10, verse 11, the one who was speaking to Daniel, helping him to understand, he said to me, "O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have been sent to you." I have now been sent to you. So as these words were communicated to Daniel, to understand the words I'm about to tell you is linked to O Daniel, man of high esteem. You're sent to Daniel to explain, to Daniel, help Daniel to understand the revelations and to gain insight into the Lord's purposes, God's plans, and what will happen in the future. This was linked to the fact that God appreciated deeply this man, Daniel. Now go on to consider the second point, which is related to the first point, and some elaborations on points that are raised in the first point. It's helpful for us to recognize that God wants to reveal to man what is in his heart, his plan and his purposes, as well as whatever would be helpful in that direction. This is God's desire. He wants to reveal to us. It's not that he wants to keep from us, but he wants to reveal to us what is in his heart, his plan, his purposes, as well as whatever would help in that direction, so that we can effectively participate in and cooperate with him in their fulfillment. This is not only God's intention, but as you reflect upon it, you'll see that it's actually an integral part of its fulfillment. An integral part of fulfillment of God's purposes involves the participation and cooperation of man, and the fellowship with which we can work together with God is in fact itself part of not only the accomplishment in the sense of part of the way to work it out, but part of the goal. Part of the goal, an important aspect, or at the very heart of the goal of God's eternal purpose, has to do with man's fellowship with God. So man's understanding, participation, working together with God is an integral part of the fulfillment, integral part of the very purpose that God intends and desires. And God's revelation to man, the deep things in his heart, his plans and purposes, is also a very meaningful expression of the fellowship that he desires to have with man. He desires to reveal the deep things to us, and in the process of it, is an expression of deep fellowship between God and man. We find that in the New Context, in the New Testament context, after the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this is even more so, in the sense that God's desire and willingness to reveal to man the width and depth is even much more so than during the Old Testament times. For example, we consider what God reveals to and through the Apostle Paul. You'll make a very interesting study, but at the moment I just want to make some brief references and comments. We look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 1. For this reason, and Paul actually is referring to what he has already been communicating to the Ephesians about God's purposes and intentions through the Lord Jesus Christ and the church life. Many deep things that Paul has been communicating to the Ephesians as a result of what God had revealed to him, the insights that Paul had gained. And he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you. So the insights were given to Paul, but it was also intended not just for him, but for ministry, as a contribution on Paul's part, given to Paul so that he can minister unto others. Verse 3, that by revelation, so it's not Paul's own ideas, it comes from God, but that in no way minimizes the meaningfulness of Paul's contribution. In fact, at the very heart of it, it must be revelation, true revelation. That by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. What was revealed in the mystery, of course, has very deep and far-ranging implications and truths, which we will not go into at the moment. But Paul goes on to say in verse 4, and by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Paul may gain much insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So many of these things were not revealed in times past, but in the New Testament times, after the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, resurrection, ascension, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and what God desires now to work out his plans and purposes through church life, Paul was able to gain understanding of these things because of the earnestness of his faith, his good attitudes and qualities, his diligence seeking for God to understand what is in God's heart. And as God reveals to him, he has revealed very much during his life, and what is recorded in the scriptures, it shows to us the deep and significant insights Paul had gained, and also we know that Paul contributed much in this area to help believers understand the deep things of God, what is in God's heart. And he went on to mention about how the Gentiles are to be fellow heirs and fellow members of the body of Christ, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. All this part of God's plan. And he was made a minister. So it is of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. So Paul's ministry was completed by the Lord's enabling. First, he was made a minister by God, and also he talks about God's grace given to him and the working of God's power. And the ministry to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, verse 10, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the deep things that Paul had gained insight in regards to the mystery is linked to the eternal purpose which God carries out in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is linked also to the manifestation of God's wisdom through church life and God's intention through the church. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul, in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read verse 7, where Paul also talks about God's wisdom in a mystery. He says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. All these were in accordance with God's plans and purposes, but in times past it was hidden. But now, Paul says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. He was able to speak about these things because he had gained insight. God had revealed these things to him, which none of the rulers of this age has understood. Others were not able to appreciate the rulers of this age. I will not discuss now exactly the meaning of this. There are two possibilities. One has to do with the rulers, the temporal rulers, like Pilate, Herod. Or you can refer, another possible interpretation has to do with the powers of darkness. The evil one has been described also as the ruler of this age. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And Paul goes on to mention, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. But there are many deep things which are intended for man to understand and to enter into. Not just to understand, but to enter into. And these are things eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It must come from God. All that God has prepared for those who love him. He wants us to understand, and he wants us to enter into these realities. But how does it come about? One major aspect of its coming about, of its becoming a reality, has to do with revelation through the Spirit. Verse 10. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So there are many deep things of God that God actually intends us to understand, but it must come through revelation, through the Spirit. And God does desire us to understand, to reveal to man, and the major means by which the church benefits, believers come to understand these things, comes about when God reveals and grants insight to those who love him, who walk with him, those whom God has raised to be able to understand, to gain insight into these things, so that they can fulfill their part in helping others to understand and to work together with God. And this would be their contribution as they work together with God. God sharing what is in his heart with men as an expression of fellowship with men. We can compare, for example, in the Old Testament, this man Abraham, recorded in Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verses 17 to 19. Abraham has been noted in the scriptures as a friend of God. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed." God is going to do something in relation to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" He hasn't done it yet, but he wants to share with Abraham. Why? This linked to God's appreciation of Abraham. He says, "Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed." So it's part of an expression of God's appreciation of Abraham and fellowship with Abraham, so that he will share with Abraham what he's about to do. Verse 19, "For I've chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." So God has chosen Abraham as part of the fulfillment of his purposes, and for Abraham to help his children, his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and so on. These things that God shares with Abraham, the fellowship that God extends to Abraham, can also be helpful to Abraham in his personal life, and also his the fulfillment of his responsibilities. The fellowship between God and Abraham. There is also a verse in Amos chapter 3 verse 7 in this direction. This is helpful for us to just take note of it. Amos comes after Daniel, Hosea. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. "Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets." This surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants and prophets. And what God desires to do, his plans and his purposes, he often reveals them to his servants, the prophets. Because this we, you know, take in absolute sense. With everything, absolutely, God will reveal. But generally, this is God's desire. And he does do this so that man may understand and able to cooperate with God. He reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets, who will then be able to help others to understand these things. The secret counsel here also communicates the idea of something deep in the heart of God, something precious to God. And when he shares it, it's also an expression of a desire to have deep fellowship with man. Now, this idea of the secret counsel linked to the issue of intimacy and fellowship. We can further look at another verse in Proverbs 3. Verse 32. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32. "For the crooked man is an abomination to the Lord," then the contrast, but he is intimate with the upright. He's intimate with the upright. And if you look at the margin in the New American Standard Bible, it says literally his private counsel is with the upright. His private counsel, he's intimate with the upright, or his private counsel. These things that are deep in the heart of God, when he shares it with the upright, God wants to share it with men, but an important aspect that makes it meaningful has to do with the moral qualities of men, with the upright. And when he shares these deep things with men, it's part of the expression of their fellowship with men. So God wants to reveal by a meaningful aspect. And a meaningful aspect of that revelation is fellowship, so that men can cooperate with him. But those to whom God desires to reveal, that God finds it meaningful to reveal, are those with whom God finds it feasible, meaningful, to have an intimate relationship, a deep fellowship. In line with this, we can also look at Psalm 25. Let's look at one verse in Psalm 25, verse 14. Psalm 25, verse 14, the same direction. It says, "The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant." The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. See, it's linked to those who fear him, reverence for God, a proper posture, attitude towards God. And the secret, if you look at the margin, into the New American Standard Bible, it says, "or counsel or intimacy." So the deep things in the heart of God is for those who fear him. He wants those with the right approach, right entity of heart. God wants to share these things with such people. And he will make them know his covenant, that they can appreciate, understand God's intentions for man. As an expression of fellowship, intimacy with man, as well as enabling man to understand, align their lives, cooperate with God. Work in that direction, pray in that direction, align their lives in that direction, help others to move in that direction. So it is in this light also that we see the life of Daniel and God's revelations to him and through him. That God found in Daniel a man to whom and through whom he was pleased and had the freedom to express, or rather to reveal, many things that are deep in the heart of God, because Daniel was a man whom God highly esteemed. And important to God are these qualities in the life of Daniel. It stands out: his faithfulness, his humility, and also his receptivity to God's revelation. So these are important aspects: faithful and humble, and also receptive. He was in a position to receive. He was receptive. And the revelations he received didn't puff him up. And he was in the context of a life of faithfulness. Now that is the kind of person that God will find very meaningful to share deep things in his heart with that person. It's an expression of fellowship with the person, as well as through him that others too can benefit, can understand, and cooperate with God. Daniel, a man whose heart and life was deeply one with God. And so, as such a man, God could meaningfully share the deep things in his heart, what pertains to the unfolding and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And so we see here, in the life of Daniel, how God reveals to him and helps him to gain insight into many things, a feature and an expression of deep fellowship, an expression of friendship between God and Daniel. However, it's also helpful to just note that such revelations to men can easily puff up a person. Person can easily become proud. It can be damaging to a person's life. It can also at times result in fleshly excitement when a person receives certain revelations from God. can result in fleshly excitement that will not be helpful for the person. But this is not so in the life of Daniel. We saw that he maintained his spirit of humility throughout. But this is an area also that has many other complications and problems, deception, counterfeits, the powers of darkness confusing God's people so that they think that they are receiving something from God when actually it's from the powers of darkness. So this is an area that can give rise also to many problems, and that is one reason why the deep things of God, often God refers to communicate, to share it with those who walk deeply with Him. And here I'm referring, when I mention about significant and deep things of God, I'm not so much talking about things which human beings look at as deep and extraordinary, but rather what pertains to what is very precious in the heart of God, especially what is deeply related to God's plans and purposes. Besides the other reasons that we considered why God would prefer to reveal it to those whose lives are pleasing in His sight, they are also in a better position to receive them and not so easily confused. When God reveals the deep things to a man who walks well with God and who knows the Lord well, such a person would be more in a position to receive these things accurately, not be confused, deceived, and also to be a good steward of what God has entrusted to him. Now go on to consider the third point. The third point is in relation to the three categories of situations and contexts in which the revelations took place. We noticed in the previous message how the revelations to Daniel took place under different circumstances. We noted three categories. And the point here I want to make is that God can work in significant issues. Very meaningful things can take place in all kinds of contexts. And this is a very helpful principle for us to bear in mind. Whether it be during times of crisis, during times of intense seeking God and prayer, on occasions whereby it seems as if nothing very special in the circumstances is present, whatever may be the context, God can work. And significant issues, very meaningful things, deep things can be taking place. But in the context of faithful walk with God is a very important point to bear in mind in relation to something positive and meaningful. We noted this in the life of Daniel. God revealed to him under different circumstances, context, during his faithful walk with God, in the context of a faithful walk with God. And this is the crucial issue that we must pay attention to and ensure. When we ensure that our lives are really faithful to God, walking well with God, then God has the freedom to work in our lives and through our lives under all kinds of situations and contexts. God can work in us and through us, whatever the context, the framework. If we are faithful, we are cooperating with Him, we respond well to Him in that context or framework. And this also is a reminder to us. In our desire to be faithful to God, to walk well with Him, we also need to be prayerful, alert, faithful at all times, sensitive to Him, responsive to Him. Because significant things can take place at any time, in any context, and we must be ready. We must learn to be ready at all times. So But during times of crisis, difficulties, let us not despair. Good things can be happening, can take place. If we are faithful, respond well to God. During times where nothing special seems to be taking place, or in the circumstances, nothing very unusual, again, meaningful and deep things can also take place. During times when you're earnestly seeking the Lord, whatever the context and situations, God can do something very significant in our lives as well as through our lives. And we must learn to be ready. There's no situation that we need to lament over in relation to our personal walk with God if our attitudes aren't good. However unfavorable, not conducive it may appear, in reality, God can do deep things in our lives and through our lives in those contexts. Now go on to consider the fourth point. What was revealed to Daniel and recorded for our learning is also very helpful to help us appreciate the majesty and the greatness of God. Besides the specific events, issues pertaining to the last days and various details, it helps us appreciate the majesty and the greatness of God. A, example, is omniscience. That God knows everything, including the future. If you reflect upon these revelations to Daniel, this point comes through very powerfully, very strongly, that God knows everything, including the future, the foreknowledge of God. Many of the events recorded for us in the book of Daniel, they were future to the time of Daniel, but they've already come to pass, exactly as revealed to Daniel. For example, the four empires. We've also seen even details like the description of Alexander the Great and how the empire after Alexander the Great was divided into four parts after his death. There are many other aspects of details revealed before they came to pass. And likewise, all the other events and details, they are yet future. Events relating to the last days, the Antichrist and his activities, Christ's second coming, the millennium and eternity, all these things are going to come to pass as God has revealed to Daniel and recorded for us. 3B. Helping us also to appreciate the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God, and God has a lot of history and events yet to take place. TB is related to the first to 3A. But the main point I want to emphasize now is not just the foreknowledge of God and his omniscience, but God's sovereignty. It is a lot of history and also the lot of events yet to take place. Right through to the second coming of Christ and to eternity. God is sovereign. So even the four great empires and the kings, they are all subject to God. For example, Nebuchadnezzar. He may seem very powerful, he may seem as if he can do whatever he wants. But we have looked at this in great detail in earlier message, how God humbled Nebuchadnezzar until he acknowledged and recognized the sovereignty of God. So God is sovereign over mankind, over kings, over great empires. And also, he came and he will bring an end to all the world's empires and worldly glory. All that's happening on this earth, the world's glory, whatever is taking place, they are all subject to God. And not only he can bring them to an end at any time, but we know that he will bring all these things to an end. All that is of this world, subject to God, all that is of this world will be brought to an end. And God will establish his eternal kingdom where righteousness dwells. God is sovereign. He will bring all these things about. kingdom is one also, where those who trust in God and walk with Him will have a meaningful place. If you reflect on the sovereignty of God over history, over events, yet future, and have a proper perspective as we ought to have if we reflect over the whole sweep of what God has revealed to Daniel and through Daniel, then it should evoke within us, bring about or enhance in us a deeper sense of confidence and security in God. Sometimes in our lives, in the little corner that we are trying to work out our lives, many things may loom very large and threatening. But as we begin to appreciate, reflect more of who God really is, He will help us get a better perspective. That if God is in control of all the major events and of every detail, should we not have a deep sense of confidence and security in Him in the context that we are in? And not just for that particular situation or the few years of our lives in that particular situation and context, but also it's very helpful for us to realize that we should have a very strong sense of purpose and direction, linked to God's purpose and direction, because we belong to Him. We can partake of it. We can have a part in it. We should have a part in it. God desires us to have a part in all these. So there should be a strong sense of purpose and direction for our lives, rather than enveloped, overwhelmed by the details and affairs of everyday life, without that sense of direction. And this is very important for each one of us. Not that we neglect our responsibilities in our daily life situations, but as we go through life, do not forget. Do not let these things, the details, the many things we need to attend to, the difficulties, do not let them drown out, overwhelm, blur our vision, our perspective of life, of things. But as we reflect on the book of Daniel, and what God has revealed to Daniel, through Daniel, it should help us to have a clear perspective of history and of the future, and a true perspective of the world, world affairs, of worldly glory, not just the things that are happening in the world at large, but also what is taking place in our own personal lives. And also a deep realization that all that the world has to offer, what do they need? A deep sense of the importance of living our lives well. Not just in our personal walk with God, but also its bearing on the outworking of God's purposes. Are we moving in the same direction that the Lord is seeking to work out? And as we have this proper perspective right through to the issues of eternity and God's eternal kingdom, we may also have a deeper sense of appreciation of the truth that God, that Paul tells us, that our labor, our striving in the Lord will not be in vain. But notice, it must be labor and striving in the Lord. As the Lord calls us, as He enables us, as we cooperate with Him, it will not be in vain. As we learn to grow, to be faithful, to serve God, all these will not be in vain. But rather the other way around. The many things in the world may appear very attractive, may appear very powerful, very significant. Those are actually of no significance if it has no proper relationship with God. The way we go through them, they will all pass away. But wherever we seek to work out, however difficult it may appear to be, or it may really be, in our striving to be true to God, and our own personal growth, as well as service to God, we will not be in vain. Whatever may be our appearance of things, because at times, in our context, it may appear to be rather hopeless, be in vain. Sometimes our own personal growth and development, the situation seems to overwhelm us. We are going through very difficult times. And in order to be faithful to God, it seems so difficult. And it seems so futile, so useless. But let us have a proper perspective. It will not be in vain if we are striving in the direction of God by His grace and enabling. things may not seem to be moving. Even as we try to honor the Lord, many things seem to go against us. Life seems to become more difficult. There doesn't seem to be any positive results and fruit. Whatever may be the outward appearance of things, let us recognize very clearly that our labor in the Lord will not be in vain. Whatever may be the difficulties, whatever may be opposition that we encounter, there is eternity to look forward to, not only for ourselves personally, but also together with all those who love the Lord, and the recognition that whatever we may have contributed, all true contributions that can stand the test of fire, they will abide, and they will have implications in eternity. Even many of the things that on earth may not be very clear and visible to us, if we are faithful to God by faith, we know that all true contributions will have implications in eternity. They will not be in vain. Now consider with you the fifth point. What was revealed to Daniel was meaningful and relevant to three categories of people. First of all, to Daniel himself. I'll just make some brief remarks. It's meaningful for Daniel himself and his relationship with God. It's an aspect that we mustn't neglect. Not just God revealed to him so that others can benefit, but it's very meaningful for Daniel himself. Not only God expressing the fellowship to Daniel, extending it to him, but Daniel, as he received these things from God, he also will be able to enter the deeper sense of closeness in his walk with God, and appreciation of God and who God is, and deeper appreciation, understanding, deeper knowledge of God, and also a deepening of his faith as more and more it opens up to him who God is, the greatness of God, the omniscience of God, the sovereignty of God, and the deepening of his fellowship with God, the greatness of God, God's plans and purposes. So they are meaningful to Daniel himself, that is A, and B, to the people of Daniel's time. They are significant and helpful to the people of Daniel's time, not just to our time, for us, the readers of the scriptures, but also to the people of Daniel's time. B1, the Jews. We've considered this previously. Here, just make some comments. It's helpful for us to appreciate this point. We've seen how the kind of situation, the context that the Jews were living in. But it can be very helpful for the Jews, the revelations given to Daniel and through Daniel, for them to realize and to recognize that their situation is not hopeless. God has not given them up. And God's plans and purposes are not frustrated, they are not abrogated, in spite of the failures of Israel. All along, through the Old Testament, we see God working through the Israelites, and when Israel failed as a nation, God's judgment came upon them, the nation was conquered, the land taken over by others, the temple destroyed, the people exiled. It may appear to some as if God's purposes will be frustrated, but it is not so. To Daniel, it's open up to us. God's purposes are not frustrated, and God also hasn't given up on his people, the nation of Israel. Further, when they see the might of Babylon and the power of Nebuchadnezzar, it's easy for them to have a wrong perspective of things. And the revelations to Daniel will help them to come to the recognition that they need not be overawed by the might of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire, and even the many even the succeeding Gentile empires yet to come. They may all appear very mighty, they may appear like a mighty statue, awesome, of extraordinary splendor and size, but actually God is the one who is sovereign, still on the throne, and these empires and these kings that appear so mighty, they are all subject to God, and also these empires and the things and activities of the world, where they have no proper relationship with God, they will all come to nothing. As we saw how the stone can crush all these things to pieces and not a trace will be left. In the midst of the revelations of the things going on this earth, we see scenes of God sovereign on the throne and what God is seeking to do through the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, we look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. This is in the context of chapter 7, verse 1, about the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. So the context of the things that go on in this world, as well as the revelations to Daniel about the empires, the world empires, or rather the Gentile empires, they are visions of God and the sovereignty of God. Verse 9, I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head was pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames, its wheels were a burning fire. God on the throne. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were opened. That in the realm of the eternal, the spiritual realm, what really counts? God on the throne, and myriads standing before him, and the court sat, God sovereign sitting on his throne. People are helped get a correct perspective. Verse 13, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. Again, this is in the realm that counts, in the spiritual realm. Let's review. The Lord Jesus Christ, dominion given to him, and includes all peoples, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, in contrast to the world empires, which will come to nothing. In contrast, here is his dominion, is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, which endures, which will not be destroyed. These visions are given by God, that man may have the proper perspective. The empires will come, the worlds and the earthly empires will come to nothing, but it's only God's kingdom that will endure forever. And man need to have the true perspective. The Jews are helped to recognize God's plan continues. They will ultimately be accomplished. The Messiah will come. We look at this earlier on. God has revealed how the Messiah will come. In Daniel chapter 9, we will not look at that now. So in relation now to the Gentiles, 5D2, Daniel's time, the people of Daniel's time, the Gentiles, that the truths we've been considering would also be very relevant. The truths associated with the revelations given to Daniel and in the historical context of that time. These revelations would also be very relevant to the Gentiles, to those who are receptive, whose hearts are open, that they may be helped to recognize that the God of Israel is the true and living God. You've seen how the revelations were given about the past have become details, yet future, and as they come to pass. All these will be very helpful also to those who are receptive, to be able to recognize the true God. Though Israel has failed as a nation, and as a testimony to the true and living God, to the Gentiles, Nevertheless, God is still seeking to reach out to the Gentiles, now through Daniel, his three friends, and through these revelations given to Daniel, because there are also other ways in which God is seeking to reach out to the Gentiles. But this is one significant aspect. The Gentiles can be helped to recognize the God of Israel is a true and living God as manifested in the revelations to and through Daniel. And these revelations to Daniel can become even more helpful to the Gentiles as they recognize and as the lives of Daniel and his three friends back up the reality of God and the one who has given these revelations. So this is a point that is helpful for us to bear in mind. Together with all these revelations, God has been working in and through the lives of Daniel and his three friends in various ways which we have considered in earlier messages. And those who are receptive amongst the Gentiles, they will be able to help, they will be helped to recognize the true and living God and what all these things mean. And they can then respond to God and how God's hand was upon Daniel and his three friends in ways that are unmistakable for all those who have come to know what took place. So for example, when Nebuchadnezzar was going to destroy all the wise men, how God revealed the dream and the interpretation of the dream through Daniel. You see this in chapter 2, which includes the mighty statue and so on. And then in chapter 4, we also saw how Nebuchadnezzar was dethroned and enthroned only after recognizing the sovereignty of God. And all this was foretold in Nebuchadnezzar's dream as interpreted to him by Daniel. So all these are contemporary events that others were able to see, God's intervention, God at work, and also Nebuchadnezzar's own personal testimony of these things recorded in chapter 4. And then also we know that there was also recorded Daniel's three friends, their faithfulness to God, they being thrown to the fiery furnace. For what reason? Because they refused to bow down to the image set up by Nebuchadnezzar. In that context, God intervened in a very dramatic way and delivered them from that ordeal. Many also would be able to recognize the sovereign activity of God in the supernatural writing on the wall during Belshazzar's reign, the last day of his reign, the interpretation by Daniel, and his immediate fulfillment that very night. Belshazzar was slain and the Medes and Persians took over from the Babylonians. Likewise, even through the reign of Darius, how Daniel was thrown, was cast into the lion's den, not because of any fault of his, but actually because of his faithfulness to God and discharge of his responsibilities. Others were jealous of him, but God intervened in a very definite way, delivered Daniel, as he sent angels to shut the lion's mouths. Now all these things help people to recognize the reality of the true and living God, the God of Israel. And all this has a bearing in the relationship with the significance and the meaning of these revelations to Daniel, its impact on the Gentiles, all those who seek after the truth. And then just briefly, 5C on future generations, including ourselves. We've reflected just now on point 4, some aspects of the greatness of God you can appreciate. We've also looked at the scope and various aspects of the revelations that are very meaningful for our understanding. But now I just want to summarize it this way, that all these revelations for all future generations, including ourselves, they are helpful in the nurturing of faith. The nurturing of faith and helping believers to appreciate the greatness of God and to appreciate God's plans and God's purposes. And they help us to know how we can align our hearts, our lives, and our prayer in the direction of the fulfillment of God's purposes. As God reveals all these things to Daniel, And as we come to know them, they help us to know how to align our lives, our hearts, our prayer life in the direction of the revelations. And this will be even more so as the time proceeds in the direction of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This brings me to the sixth point, that the revelations to Daniel are especially helpful for those living the last days just prior to the second coming. Be very helpful for the people to know how to live their lives, how to align their lives in the prayer as they live the midst and the nearness of the events that are talked about in the scriptures, in the revelations. And when the events actually come to pass during those periods, it can be very helpful for those people who are living during those times, because the revelations to Daniel has much to say about this period, including the appearance and activities of the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation. So they'll be very significant for all those who live near and during these times, how to order our lives, and even until the second coming, the millennium, and the eternity. The seventh point, that may be helpful also for us, is to recognize that there are limits to God's revelation to man. Because even as you consider how God has revealed so much to this man Daniel, let us also recognize that there are limits to God's revelation to man. But even to a man like Daniel, God did not reveal everything. You look at Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. In the midst of much revelation to Daniel, verse 8, Daniel says, Daniel chapter 12, verse 8, "As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these things?" Daniel's attitude was positive. He wanted to understand so that he will be able to appreciate the meaning of these things and able to align his life in that direction. Whatever God desires to reveal, he would want to understand. But there are some things he couldn't understand. So he mentioned, "As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these things?" Verse 9, "And he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time." So there's a timing for God's revelations on certain issues. The helpful point for us to realize is this, that even to a man like Daniel, God did not reveal everything. But God revealed only what was appropriate according to his perfect wisdom. That is, that God's revelation has meaning and purpose. And this is something very helpful for us to recognize, this subject of God's revelation to man. God's revelation has meaning and purpose, direction in it. It's not just to satisfy our curiosity, or just to help us know many things as an end in itself, or some who wants excitement, something interesting, to excite our emotions or to excite our imagination. It is not for any of these reasons. But God's revelation has meaning and purpose. What is helpful, what is relevant, what is edifying for God's people. And we must recognize this and maintain this in our posture and our approach. And this principle also applies to us in our approach to life generally. For example, in the way we search the scriptures, our attitude as we search the scriptures in order to seek to understand God's revelation. The attitude of heart must be to try to understand God's revelation, or rather, searching of scriptures and all other attempts in trying to understand God's revelation, to receive from God, to to seek understanding from God or revelation from God, we must have as the motivation within us a desire to understand the meaning, relevance, and application. Not just to know many things, for example, research is scriptures. It's not just to be able to know this and that, but it must be with this heart's desire to understand the meaning so that we may realize the relevance and the application for our personal lives and for the lives of others. That must be the way we seek to understand, to search the scriptures, and to understand God's revelation, even as we seek to understand what's revealed to Daniel. That must be the attitude, that is, towards a more effective life, for more effective living and walking with God. That is the reason for revelations of God to man, and that must be our motivation, the way we approach our search, understanding, our desire to understand God's ways, God's revelations. To know in order to understand, to apply, to recognize the relevance for our lives, to align our hearts and lives to God's purposes, to be faithful to God. The last point, just a brief remark that the issues pertaining to events surrounding the second coming will become clearer as we approach the time of the events. The issues pertaining to events surrounding the second coming will become clearer as we approach the time of these events. Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, we saw just now. What Daniel went through, this point comes through. Daniel wanted to understand, but he was told, "Go your way, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time." That means during the end time, they will be revealed. It will be the right time for these things to be revealed. There will be clearer understanding of these things. And also in verse 4 of Daniel chapter 12. "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time." So God's people, as they approach the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, can look forward to clearer understanding of many issues that will be relevant for God's people during such times, which means also that our hearts need to be open, seeking to understand whatever the Lord may desire to communicate to us. Be ready. But for the right reasons, with the correct motivation, to understand in order that we may be faithful to God, more effectively cooperate with Him, participate in whatever He may desire and require of us. Let us then briefly consider what we have covered today. We have been looking at the third major area of Daniel's contribution to the fulfillment of God's purposes, and that is in relation to the significant revelations to Daniel and through him that pertains to the future and the unfolding of God's plan and God's kingdom. Even as in the previous message, we have some idea of the scope and significance. Today, we spend some time to reflect on the meaning, significance and helpfulness of what was revealed to and through Daniel, and appreciating his contribution in this regard, this aspect, to the main role of the fulfillment of God's purposes. And we have considered how though the revelations were from God, nevertheless, it is a meaningful aspect of contribution on Daniel's part, because all true contributions must in the end come from God. His revelations is enabling. But whether it be in this area of revelations we see to other forms of service, the meaning of the contributions and service, the quality, is closely related to the context in which God reveals or works through these people. And that is whether God reveals or works through the person in the context of God being pleased with the person, the quality of his life, and the way in which he is able to make himself available to cooperate with God, to receive from God, and then to communicate to others. But it will not be contributions or service in any meaningful sense where it is God working through the person in spite of him, his negative traits. And this can take place. God can work through a person even though God is displeased with him, not pleased with his life, like Balaam and Barabbas. But we saw that in the case of Daniel, God's revelations to him was in the context of faithfulness to God in all circumstances, and the life that God is deeply pleased with, the man God highly esteemed. And in that context, God was pleased to reveal much to Daniel, the expression of fellowship with Daniel. And also God had the freedom to share these deep things with Daniel because of the qualities of his life. And you can see this expressed in different verses in the scriptures, that God desires to reveal to man, but the deep things he finds meaningful to share, especially with those whose lives are upright, fear the Lord, reverence the Lord, whose lives are deeply pleasing to him. It's a meaningful expression of fellowship, as well as revelation through the man, so that others will also be able to understand, that men can then cooperate and effectively participate in the outworking and fulfillment of God's purposes. We also saw how these revelations came in different kinds of contexts, situations, and helps us to see how God can do deep and meaningful things in all circumstances, and we need to be ready at all times. Every situation we are in, God can do something deep and meaningful. The main thing we need to be careful about is our personal walk and attitudes, our faithfulness. The revelations through and through Daniel also help us appreciate the majesty and greatness of God, his omniscience, foreknowledge, and we see the fulfillment of what has been prophesied, of what has been seen, and what has already come to pass. And then as we look forward to what is yet future, the sovereignty of God manifested. God still on the throne in great majesty. That the empires, the Gentile empires, and the kings who may appear powerful, they will all be destroyed and come to nothing. All that is of the world that does not bear a proper relationship with God will come to nothing. And we must have this true perspective, a deep sense of security, confidence in God, and the proper approach to life, and not overwhelmed or distracted or taken up with the affairs of this life, losing that sense of direction and purpose that we ought to have. Correct perspective of history and of the future, a wider perspective of things that can be very helpful for us as we go through our daily lives. We also saw how what was revealed to Daniel was meaningful not only to himself, but also the people of his time, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles, and also to the people of succeeding generations, and even for ourselves, and even more so for those living in the last days, just prior to the coming of Christ. Although God revealed much to Daniel, and God does desire to reveal much to us, there are limits to God's revelation to men. One aspect to do with timing, when to be suitable, but the main thing to understand is that God's revelation to man has meaning and purpose, not just to excite our imagination, our emotions, but in order that we may be able to live our lives well, to be able to understand what God is seeking to do, that we can then cooperate with God. What is appropriate, what is helpful, what is edifying. And this should be our approach to life generally. And seeking to understand what God has revealed, whether it be through the scriptures or other means, we must seek to understand in order that we may be able to apply them in our lives for effective living, and not just seeking to understand more for its own sake. Let us now prepare ourselves. Partake of the Lord's Supper. Let us reflect through our lives. Do we have the correct perspective of life and things? Are we so taken up with our personal context and the many things that are surrounding us that we lose sight of total purposes of God and true perspective of life? In the midst of difficulties, have we lost sight of the reality of God's sovereignty? Are these truths? And what we consider of who God is, realities in our lives, let us ask the Lord to help us with a true correct posture, attitudes, perspective, and also if there are any areas in our lives that are not right, whether it be wrong attitudes and ways, and being absorbed by our interests, the things of the world, or other wrongdoings, let us soften up before God.